Well, as a college student many, many years ago now, one of the things that I remember very fondly of my college days were the opportunities for free food, right? Anybody can relate to that? If there was going to be food as a college student, I was going to be there, whether it was a potluck or a picnic or somebody invited me to their home after church or whatever else. If there was food as a hungry college student, I was there. I was fortunate that two out of my three summer jobs involved cooking food, and I was able to eat all that I wanted. I can't do that now. I'd be in big trouble if I did that sort of thing right now, but wow, it was something in those days. Well, for some 5,000 men who had followed Jesus across a lake, they weren't coming for the free food, but they were coming for a miracle. They were coming to see what Jesus would do. They had seen him heal the sick. They had probably brought loved ones who were sick with them, or they had loved ones in mind who needed some help. And they were coming to hear of Jesus and from Jesus. And Jesus knew that as the crowds came, that they would get hungry. That's one of the things that happens, whether we like it or not. Time slips by, and pretty soon we get hungry. Well, we're going to look at what happened next this morning in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. This is what it says. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. When Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples, the Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in the place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them all and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." What an interesting series of events that day many years ago. And what I find interesting in this story, this incident, is the fact, first of all, that Jesus took responsibility to feed those people upon himself. I don't know if it was a cultural thing or what, but it's not like Jesus had invited the people over for lunch. He didn't say, "You guys come across the sea, follow me, and I'll make sure that you have something to eat." He didn't invite them for dinner. He didn't have any obligation to them, but when he saw the crowd coming, he knew that they would get hungry. And so he decided to respond to that need. Isn't it wonderful when we have eyes like Jesus to see the needs of people even before they recognize it, perhaps, to know what's coming, to see it happening, and to say, "Let's see if we can do something about this." Let's see what we can do to help. Let's get involved in this, even though it isn't necessarily my responsibility. It certainly isn't my fault that these people didn't bring a bag lunch with them. But since I'm here and since they're coming, there's just something there interesting about how Jesus, even though he wasn't personally responsible for this, he decided that he wanted to do something for them. Where are we going to buy enough bread for everyone to eat? That was the question of the day. There was no skip the dishes to call. There was no food court just around the corner that they can go into and get the food that they need. Jesus puts Philip on the spot. Maybe Philip is right there. And so Jesus turns to him and he says, well, what would you do, Philip? How would you feed these people? How would you take care of their needs? What would you do? Well, it didn't take a mathematician to figure out that there were no viable options. Even if there were a row of bakeries that suddenly appeared around the corner, there certainly wasn't enough money to buy bread to feed all the crowds that were gathering. I'm losing my voice here. It'll come back. Here it is. All right, I'm good. So Philip, with his sharp arithmetic mind, states the obvious. He says 8 months' wages wouldn't be enough to buy bread for even everyone to have a single bite. That's pretty good calculating, even without a calculator. 8 months' wages wouldn't be enough. He knew it. It was obvious. He didn't have to say, hey, Google, how much bread do I need to feed 5,000 people? It wasn't an option. There was no place to buy it. And even if there was nowhere near the money needed for it. Just about then, Andrew notices a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. And, well, at least that's something. But then reality sets in. How far would that go among so many people? Well, it wouldn't go very far. The fish were small. The bread was among the cheapest that you can find. It was made out of barley. Well, you know how the events unfolded that day. Jesus had the people sit down. He gave thanks to the food, as meager as it was, and miraculously managed to feed 5,000 men. I don't know exactly how it happened. Perhaps he had someone pass a basket around, and every time somebody took a piece of bread, more suddenly appeared. Wouldn't that be wonderful to see how that happened? But one way or another, everyone was served, and there was enough left over to fill 12 baskets. Well, Jesus was very practical. Talk about 2 birds with 1 stone. The people had come looking for a miraculous sign, and they were hungry. So Jesus took care of both needs in one situation. One impossible situation turned into a powerful miracle. Verse 14, after the people saw the miraculous signs that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. What an amazing day. What an amazing miracle. What a powerful miracle. When we look at this story, we see a caring Savior. But of course, there's much more to this day's events than food. What's happening here is about changed lives. And one of the lives that was surely changed that day was that of a little boy. Can you imagine him coming home? Son, how did your day go? Did you enjoy your lunch? Mom, you wouldn't believe what happened today. Could you imagine him trying to tell his parents what happened to the food that he had taken. So I started thinking more about this boy, and I began to wonder, who was he? And what was he doing there in the first place? Was he there alone? Was he there with his family? Was he there looking for a miracle? Was he actually interested in what Jesus had to say? Or did he just happen to be there among the crowds? Maybe this was his usual spot to go and relax. We don't know, but what we do know is that this boy was close enough to Jesus among the thousands who had gathered for Andrew to spot him. And we know that this boy had some food with him. We have often assumed that the fish and the loaves were the boy's own lunch. And that very well might be the case. However, that's not necessarily the case. Some have speculated, and I believe that there's some merit to it, that the boy might have been there to make a few dollars. He was there quite possibly sent by his parents to sell a few loaves of bread that his mom had made in the morning, and maybe his dad had caught a couple of fish before breakfast, and he had brought them there, quite possibly, to sell. I mean, how many loaves of bread does one boy eat, even if they are small? It's kind of like when you go on a vacation. You remember those things called vacations? And wherever the crowds would be, there would be people selling stuff. There would be vendors. The vendors knew where the crowds were, and they'd be trying to make a few dollars. So it's entirely possible. We don't know, but it's entirely possible that this boy might have brought some bread and some fish to sell to make a few coins. Well, whether it was his own lunch or whether he was trying to sell some food to make a few coins, one way or another, the food ends up in Jesus' hands. And again, we don't know for sure, but it's quite safe to assume that the boy gave up the food quite willingly. I'm sure Jesus and the disciples didn't grab it out of his hands as if they're taking it from him. And there's no mention that the boy sold the food to Jesus and the disciples, even if that might have been his intention. It's fair to believe, to speculate, that the food that the boy brought was willingly handed over to Jesus. Perhaps the boy had heard stories of Jesus. Perhaps he wanted to see what Jesus would do. Maybe there was something in Andrew or in Jesus' eyes that made the boy give up his food to see what would happen. Maybe the boy was responding with the same compassion that Jesus had. What we do know for sure, and this is the important part, what we do know for sure is the lesson that the boy learned that day. That amazing and wonderful things happen when we give what we have to Jesus. That much we know. There's a lot of things we're not entirely sure of. We can speculate, but we do know, as this boy learned very quickly, that amazing and wonderful things happen when we give what we have to Jesus. We might not think that we have very much. It certainly might not be very valuable. We might not think that what we have would go very far. It might not make any difference, you might say. We might not even have the best quality. The barley loaves were among the cheapest bread that could be made because it was made out of barley. We might be just one person lost in a crowd of thousands who are more capable in many ways, stronger, more talented. But this is what's important for us. When God puts his finger on us and calls us, and when we give him whatever we have, as meager as it may be, God is able to do incredible things through it. Don't ever underestimate the value of what you have that God is asking for. You remember the story of the widow in the Old Testament book, 1 Kings chapter 17. She had just a little bit of oil left, a little bit of flour left. She was going to bake a loaf. It was the last of her supplies. She was going to bake some bread. She was going to feed it to her son and herself. And that was the end. She figured they were going to die. This was all that they had left. Nothing left. This is everything. It all boils down to this little bit of oil, this little bit of flour. We're going to eat this, and then we're going to die. And Elijah comes along and asks her to make some bread for him first. What a strange request. And she goes away and she does exactly what Elijah had told her. And I'll let you read about what happened next in 1 Kings chapter 17 sometime. When we give what we have to God, God is able to do incredible things through it. The truth is, God is able to do incredible things even without us giving what we have to him. But he chooses to work through us and through our faithfulness. The truth is, Jesus could have fed those 5,000 men without the boys' lunch. He could have done that. He could have turned the stone into bread. He could have had it fall out of heaven. He could have done 1,000 different things. He didn't actually need that boy's lunch in order to feed the 5,000 people. But he chose to work through that boy. Why? For the boy's sake and for those who had gathered as well. But it was for the boy. What if the boy had said no? It would not be unusual for a boy to say no to a stranger who comes wanting his food. What if he said, no, that's my food. Leave me alone. And he ran off as fast as his little feet could take him, and he disappeared into the crowds. Who would have lost out? It wouldn't be Jesus. And I don't think it would have even have been the crowds. Jesus would have provided in some other way. It's the boy who would have lost out. What opportunities do we lose out on when we say no? When we offer what we have to Jesus, as meager as it might seem, or out of abundance, God pours out his blessing. He does it again and again and again. He even says, test me in this and see if I will not pour out so much blessing that you don't have room enough for it. When we withhold from God, we are only hurting ourselves. We really need to understand this. It's not like it hurts God. we're hurting ourselves. And I realize this doesn't make sense in the world. There is no arithmetic that says that if you take something and you subtract from it, you end up with more somehow. But God does it. Somehow. You could say that God doesn't follow arithmetic. I don't know. And I can say he's done it for me. My entire life. Ever since I was a young teenager delivering newspapers, I didn't earn very much. It was just a few coins, really. But my dad taught me. He said, Norm, Norair, don't forget to give a portion of that back to the Lord. And it wasn't very much. It wasn't very hard to do. But I learned to do that. And through the years, I continued to learn to do that. And I can tell you, I have absolutely zero regrets. Don't ask me how it works. I can't explain it with arithmetic, but I could tell you it does. When we give to God, and I'm not talking just about finances, that's actually a very minor part of it all. It is one part of it. When we give to God, it's good for us because God blesses us in some way. We are called to give because it is good for us to give. You cannot outgive to God. I know it sounds cheesy and there's songs about that, but it's the truth. And so I would encourage you, in whatever way God is calling you, whatever it is that's in your hands that God is looking at and saying, what are you going to do with this now? Always say yes to God. It doesn't matter what he asks. It doesn't matter how insignificant it might seem to you at the moment. It doesn't matter how impossible the situation is. It doesn't matter how broken or battered what you have happens to be. What matters is obedience to the master. And friends, if he is the master, then obedience comes naturally. And so I want to encourage you to consider, what is it that God is looking at in your hands today? Is it a talent that God has given you that he is saying, perhaps you need to use that for my glory? Is it some resource that you have? Maybe a skill that you have that you can use for God, that God is calling you? Maybe it is giving faithfully. Maybe it's your time. Maybe God has given you the blessing of time that you can share with others. Or even when you don't have very much of it, and you bless others with your time or your skill. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. Far be it from me to suggest what God is calling you to give to him. But whatever it is that God calls you to give, he does it for your good, to bless you. God calls us to be faithful as he is faithful, and in the course of time, God will do amazing things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come to you this morning, and Father God, sometimes what we have does not seem very significant. And sometimes what we have becomes very dear to us and we're afraid to give it up. But Father God, I pray that as you call us each individually to respond to you. I pray, Father God, that we would willingly and gladly give to you whatever it is that you have provided for us, whether it's some skill, whether it's our time, whether it's some blessing, whether you have provided for us financially, or whether it is something else that we need to give, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that we would be a people who would be like that boy and say, it's not much. I don't know what you're going to do with it among the great needs that there are around, but I give it to you. Lord, may we likewise give our very selves to you, our lives, our heart, our future, our ambitions. Lord, we give it to you just now and ask, Father God, that you would take it and use it and multiply it for your glory and for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.